Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to First Covenant Church this morning. Just a few announcements today. After the service, we have coffee, of course. And following our coffee and fellowship time is our annual business meeting at 11 o'clock. So please stay for that if you're able. And then this afternoon, it is our turn to provide services at Waterview Pines at 2 o'clock. And if you're available for that, as we talked about last week, it's always helpful to have extra hands to visit with the residents and help them find song pages, et cetera, et cetera. So that's this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Our one scheduled event this week is serving at the Salvation Army on Tuesday. No, that doesn't belong there? Oh, you did it already. Oh, my mistake. See, you can tell I don't volunteer there because I didn't know that it was done already. Okay. My mistake. Okay. And next Sunday when we gather together again, we will be meeting for worship as well as communion. Next Sunday is the last session of our study on Philippians. Chapter 4 that Roger Linden has been leading, and then we'll have a couple of weeks to spend just fellowshipping after church, but during Lent we're going to do the Andy Stanley DVD video series on why Easter matters. So I hope you'll join us for that. I think those are the announcements for now, for today. If you would stand, please, and join in the responsive call to worship. Wise men came to worship Christ.
Let such wisdom lead us to worship him.
They followed the light they had.
In such faithfulness, let us worship today.
Grant us wisdom to walk in your light.
And to present ourselves.
Remain standing for hymn number 213, My Lord of Light. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together we may have one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed us, for the glory of God. You may be seated. Our scripture readings this morning begin with the book of Micah in the Old Testament, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, and that can be found in the Pew Bible on page 712. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusations. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And our New Testament reading this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And this is the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount, found on page 739 of your pew Bible. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of the Lord. And now, our God, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name. But who are we that we should be able to make this free will offering? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. The ushers will collect the offering and gifts this morning. Thank you. Join me in our morning prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray this morning for each individual that has come to worship with us today. We know, dear Lord, that you are wherever two or more are gathered. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you will teach us, that you will bless us, and that we will leave this morning better equipped to serve your kingdom. We thank you, Lord, for all of the blessings that we have, the freedom to worship, the protection from local law enforcement and service people, the support of healthcare professionals, and all those that take care of us throughout the community. We thank you, Lord, for those that are serving in the military. We pray this morning for the people that are suffering, Lord, whether they have experienced natural disasters, whether they have health issues, whether they don't have the same freedoms that we enjoy. We pray, Lord, that you will touch them and that you will send the right people and the right services to meet their needs. We pray especially, Lord, for those that have recent illnesses and surgery and health issues that are either physical or mental or emotional. We know, Lord, that you can heal all of that in your time. And we thank you for that assurance. This morning, Lord, we especially want to praise you for how great you are. On the first day of the week, we commemorate your creation of the world and all that is in it. We thank you for the light which wakes us morning by morning, and for that greater light which shines in Jesus Christ. O God, how great you are. On the first day of the week, you raised Jesus from the dead. Raise us with him to new faith and life. O God, how great you are. Again, on the first day of the week, you sent your Spirit to your disciples. Do not deprive us of your Spirit, and renew us through him day by day. Amen. Remain seated for hymn number 207, Christ is the Truth, the Way.
Thank you.
This morning, we are fortunate to have Brad Monson from the Area Youth for Christ to share with us, and I certainly welcome him. Thank you, Brad.
So, here's my first slide. I've got to share some updated pictures. We've got my daughter Adeline, who is going on, she's about 18 months, she'll be another month here in a few days. Then we have my wife Bethany and her dog Dallas. And we've got a few others in this one. So, here we go. So, we've got on the right there, she sometimes will pray. We ask her to pray. She put her hands in there, it warms her heart. And then, she just loves our dog Dallas. He's wonderful, and probably her most common word right now, when like mom or dad does, to say Dallas. In the bath or something, call him over, Dallas. So it's great. It's really great. Really, really blessed just to have my little family where we are slowly growing, and it's just great. Okay, so today. My message is a new heart, and I've shared this to numerous churches, and I just really feel like this is what's on my heart to share with really the whole Iron Range. Before we begin, I'll just open up in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for God, your love, for your provision, and God, for your plans for the Iron Range. Thank you so much for every individual here in this church body, and for that you'll bless them for their faithfulness. God, for all their prayers and willingness to serve you. God, I pray that you would lead me and guide me through this message, Lord, that truly I would just speak what's on my heart, God, what you want for this congregation to hear. Thank you, God, again, for all you do. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So, this concept originally, funny enough, was really that was on my heart to read through Ezra and Nehemiah, and through that, I end up pretty much boiling it down to just a couple of scriptures. So we have my Ezra and Nehemiah. You know, they built the wall, they built the tabernacle, they've ran back to the Torah, all ending in the end of Nehemiah, very anticlimactic, and they start messing up again, right? But through that, in the very first verse of Ezra, alludes to this. This hyperlink to Jeremiah talking about a new heart and Ezekiel as well. And I just really felt like that's what really I latched on to, is this concept of a new heart. And even those people in that Old Testament time who read those prophets and been like, when they came back to Jerusalem, they're thinking, man, this is it. This is our time. We're gonna rebuild. We're going to finally do different. And turns out, it was not. And, I would say Christ Jesus was perhaps part of that fulfillment. I would say maybe our true hearts may come in heaven one day. But nonetheless, I feel like we can take a lot from that and know that that we truly need to pursue a new heart. Oh, wow. Let's just skip like three slides. Okay. I'll be a little more gentle. New hearts. And I truly believe that a new heart is a father's heart. So, ultimately, we can all pursue the heart of the Father. We have an example through Christ Jesus. We have, if it's like to be gentle. Yes. So we have in John chapter 14, verses 9 through 10, I have the New Living Translation, says this. Jesus replied, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me." And I just now realized I'm using a microphone. I feel like we're probably okay. Okay, awesome. And again, in right away in John chapter 1, verse 18 says this, "No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." So all this to say, and perhaps prove to you, that Jesus' heart and the Father's heart are one. And the best example of a Father's heart is the Father's heart. So first off, we're going to just a little dive into see, okay, well, let's look at what kind of examples can we get from Jesus? What does he tell the people of his day? And some ways to follow in his footsteps. And I believe the first part is the Father's heart forgives. So we're going to start, I'm just going to read through a chunk of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. We'll be in Luke chapter 15 for a while if you want to turn there. So we have the full story of the prodigal son. I'm not going to read the full story today. We will start probably, we'll do verse 20. We'll start just verses 20 to 24. But quick little summary, right? You got the two sons, the younger child, firstborn, of course, or not firstborn, sorry. The youngest one decides, you know what? I want my inheritance now. I want to get out of here. All that stuff. And naturally spends all the money, makes all the mistakes. And we'll pick up right after he has this epiphany, right? He finally came to his senses as he was feeding the pigs and thought to himself, that slop kind of looks tasty, right? Comes to his senses and thinks to himself, I will go home to my father and say, I've sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as your hired servant. Right? Because he thought that, man, even being a slave of my father's house would be better than feeding pigs and eating pig slop. So pick up in verse 20, I'll just read through it. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to his servants, Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we had been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For his son, the son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. Wow. Of course, a very, very popular story in the Bible, and my first thought really digesting the scripture was looking at that father, right? And you look at all the hurt that son would have caused him to come back and have that reaction. You don't have that kind of reaction, and there's a complete absence of anger and bitterness in his heart. There was clearly only forgiveness and grace there. And we can look back at that in ourselves. Man, what kind of impact do we have on those around us if we try to pursue a heart with that much forgiveness and grace? And then another verse kind of stuck out to me, maybe one that we wouldn't think. Verse 20. That fatherly love to run and embrace the son is the heart we should strive to have, but that new thought of, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Father, son coming down the road. The story could have been the son walked in the door and knocked on the door or something, right? But no, this story is the father saw him a long way off. And I dare to venture that perhaps that wasn't a coincidence. Perhaps this father was still praying and weeping and seeking for his son to come home. Perhaps looking down the road every so often just to really, you know, clearly still longing after his son to come home. So again, follow by example with the Father's heart. The Father's heart is filled with forgiveness and grace. pursues the lost. We're going to kind of go backwards a bit here. In Luke chapter 15, we're going to read through verses 8 through 10, the parable of the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost coin." In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. Is that our heart this morning? Is that what we have? I think about it this way. If Mr. C lost a $100 bill in the house, right? Wouldn't you sweep the entire house looking for it? And maybe even say, "Hey, pray that I can find this $100 bill. It's the big deal. That could buy like 1 gallon of milk these days or something." Okay, I need that. Right? And then you found the $100 bill. Wouldn't we rejoice and you know, come back the next time and be like, "Did you find the $100 bill?" "Yes, I found my $100 bill. Praise God," right? Man, can we have that same heart and that same sense of rejoice and passion and pursuit of lost people? Where's our heart at? Can we pursue that heart of a father that pursues the lost? And we'll go right backwards again. Verses 3 through 7, the parable of the lost sheep. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what would they do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and have him straight away. And for me, naturally, I don't think of 9,900 sheep. I think of 100 youth students. If I lost a youth student, wouldn't I say, "Hey, stay here. Please don't move. I'm going to go find this kid." If I'm in like a busy city or somewhere, right? Like, "Please stay there. I'm going to go find this kid. And I'm going to probably drag him by the ear." You know, but I was kidding. But I'm going to bring him back. We found Susie. We found Jimmy, right? I'm gonna risk, really, what I'm doing is I'm risking those 99, right? Think of it just with sheep, right? I left the 99 in the field, I can come back and five more while I've walked away. Kind of a crazy concept that Jesus is trying to portray here, that it's worth leaving those 99, which really doesn't make logical sense. But that's what you do, especially in the day of shepherds, right? You get after those sheep. And for me, I think about, well, of course, we need to prioritize the one over the 99. And certainly isn't easy. But then I look at, finally, kind of all for a purpose, going backwards through Luke chapter 15. Where there's the heck? He's up on the slides all the time. Lost coin, lost sheep. Yes, verses 1 and 2. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. And what does Jesus do? Here's a story. Here's the lost sheep. Here's the lost coin. Here's the prodigal son. Does this answer your question? Right? Can you imagine just like, you know, just that kind of response, right? These three stories back to back to back. Basically just saying, "This is why I'm eating with these notorious sinners." Right? And really, that again, that story of the 99, all of these was Jesus' rebuttal to the Pharisees and religious leaders criticizing him for eating with sinners. And I think sometimes we forget, at least for us in our day, that this could mean leaving 99 of our like-minded, Jesus-believing friends and pursuing the one that doesn't believe. Perhaps the one that isn't like you. Perhaps one you don't always get along with. Maybe even one that has a different political affiliation than you do. even a Packers fan. Maybe. Pray for that. Okay. Actually, pray for Vikings fans. You know, still recovering. So. And this concept of pursuing the one for the 99 reminds me of a very known pastor in the area, planted the Giving Assembly of God, Clarence St. John. And I heard a story of his son, who's now directing the Minnesota Youth when I was at camp, had this story when he was, a few years ago, his dad, Clarence St. John, was a leader at camp. And of course, as many do, if you get some kids from other groups or whatever, had some troubled kids, had one particularly very troubled kid, got into a lot of trouble, all this stuff. And Clarence St. John decided to give him a promise. And he said, hey, listen, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to call you every day and check up on you. And left the camp. The kid, at that point, still never believed in God, but still would have an alarm on his phone, at least this last summer, to this day, like at that point, still had an alarm set on Clarence St. John's phone. When that alarm went off, no matter what he was doing, he'd drop it all, call this kid. He would go to voicemail, I'm sure, majority of the time, but he'd call this kid every single day. And as far as I've known this summer, still didn't believe in God, still hasn't come around, but holy buckets, if that doesn't show what a heart could look like to pursue the one and leave the 99. Wow. Where are we at this morning? Are we pursuing the loss? Are we stepping out of our comfort zone? I also believe a father's heart is an emotional, tender heart. Okay? I'll read a few here this morning, but man, you could pick through pretty much any verse, right, of Jesus and look at. Go through John 16, right? One thing to talk the talk, but God put his feelings into action by sending his son. Okay, and we have Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, and the very hairs on your head are all numbered. You can go through all these scriptures in the Bible talking about how much God deeply loves and cares for us, and of course, especially those that are lost. And I think especially this, not just loving, but it's one thing to love, one thing to have that emotional, that tender heart to feel for those that are lost. And I think our society, oftentimes, Christians included, this last, almost 3-year anniversary in March, right, of COVID, we're becoming more numb. When it's our natural tendency, when bad things happen, it can be easy sometimes to slip back and just kind of close ourselves off, build that cage, right, numb to the bad. But if you try to numb yourself up, you also get numb to the good. And I truly believe that God calls us to first love others and share the gospel second. God loves regardless of our belief in him or not. God hurts with us, and he hurts for us. And here's a concept, church. God knows, he knows who will never believe, but he still chooses to love them. How many billions and billions of people that he knows will never believe in him and still chooses to love them just the same. What a beautiful example of love, and a kind of love that I try to pursue every day, even if it's just a little millimeter closer. That is the true heart of the Father. Loving someone even though they may never love you back. Such a humbling example. I mean, for me, with the youth ministry, right? Man, how difficult is it to try to love a student that ticks me off 24/7? A student that I know may never accept Christ. 2 of, we have our very famous, you know, especially in a lot of weddings, we have 1 Corinthians 13, right? But and it says this, that the greatest of these all these attributes, right? And this describes love, but without love, they are nothing. I think sometimes we may even forget that little part of that as well. That love is, you know, patient, kind, all these things. But without love, those things are nothing. All those attributes are nothing without love. Or for me, maybe it's my engineer brain, that love is patient, but not all patience is love. It's not a two-way street. Right? And this concept of weeping for the lost. Now me, perhaps, it's still me trying to tenderize my heart, possibly it's dealing with some of the hardships of my life last, I don't know, 15 plus years. So I don't really cry super often. I would love to change that more. I'd love to just weep for the lost. But I've cried more for my lost students than I've cried for my wife and child. This isn't because I love them less, but it's truly because I need the Lord and I need the Holy Spirit to move me to love and pursue the lost. Like I talked about, when it's not easy, when these kids are super annoying. And I challenge you with that this morning, to ask the Lord to tenderize your heart for the lost and the broken. It's much easier, dare I say natural, to have my heart be softened for my beautiful, wonderful wife and daughter. It reminds me as well of a song, maybe it's oldish now, not too old, maybe 10, 20 years, by Brandon Heath, and it says this: give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. I just think, wow. If we pursued that heart of the Father and began to just ask God to help us see the needs around us, what kind of impact would we have? And I'm still working on it, folks. The only example I can think of recently was super small, but I'm sitting there inside waiting for my food at Arby's, and someone else's name gets called, eating in, and I kind of turned and I was like, can I get your food for you? It's not a big, not a huge deal. And then this old woman goes, oh, thank you, my knee was really sore today too. Anyway, you know, just kind of a cool thing that I happened to grab this person's food. They were sore anyway to get up across the room and walk for it. I don't know. I'm just trying to do my best. Right? So really, my whole point today, we went through the parable of lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. That conclusion of how do I pursue the heart of the Father? The heart of the Father. I think it all boils down to love. That's why Christ came to earth. Love to the point where they notice. Love to the point where they see the Father through you. Because unfortunately, Jesus is not walking around the earth right now. He'll be back soon, but he's not here now. So how can people see the Father? It's through us. Through our actions, through our words, to see the heart of the Father. So I believe that our Father's heart, and to pursue the Father's heart, is with pure, unconditional love. Right? And maybe for us as checking our heart this morning, we may have a renewed heart, of Christ,
part of the difficulties of walking through my life. When I was 16, I tragically lost my father in a plane crash. Just going on two and a half years ago, lost my grandpa overnight suddenly, which at that point was really my father figure. And even now, I'll occasionally bring him up somehow, and I'll always give them such high praise in my personal story and testimony. It's like, oh yeah, my dad was so great, this and that, my grandpa, all this and that. And I never really thought about, boil it down, why did they have such a great impact on my life? They both believe in God, yes. That was great. I don't know, clear point, I don't know where I'd be, or if any of us were saved kind of through the parents and dragging our butts to church, right? But why did they hold such a near and dear place in my heart? And I really thought about that. And in fact, instead of one sentence, church, it's this. I knew they loved me with everything they had. Yeah, I can think of some cool memories, and you know, I'm sure, you know, with all the mistakes, but still, you know, they treated me well, all these great things. But really, as it was, man, despite their flaws and everything that maybe they lacked as an imperfect human being, I knew they loved me with everything they had. And while, yes, as with Christ's blood, we all have the opportunity to be part of God's chosen people. But we will all continue to fail. Just like, as I look holistically as the Old Testament Israelites, right? It's this cycle of going back to God, making mistakes, Moses walking up for 10 commandments while they are building a golden calf, right? All we can do is simply keep loving. And for us to be for Christ, we've taken a leap of faith. We've hired on Jake Grass here that you will get to meet and shake hands with. I know God's got a plan for the Iron Bridge. And I know that he has a heart for lost people. So really encourage you to seriously think and pray about how you can get involved. Would you pray for us? Would you command it a card, or I can get you other little things I forgot to bring on your fridge? Would you tell others about Me for Christ and how they can get involved? Maybe you can volunteer. Maybe you can financially give. Let me tell you this. God can use you. I know we can use you as you guys. And as I close, just one recent story that I have for a student. Spoke at a church about 4 months ago and had a mom come to me afterwards just weeping and praying for their 19-year-old son. Was spending days and days on end sitting in his bed, laying in bed, not even playing video games, just doing nothing. And we got connected. By the grace of God, he came to our Tuesday after school to play some video games with me. And ever since then, usually about once a week, not always every week, just sit with him, playing some games, chatting, trying to maybe get him to interact with some other kids, slowly. And I had just met with the mom earlier this week, and you know, it's baby steps, but even she can say, obviously, knowing him better than I do, that you know, he's doing better. He's helping around the house. He's doing this or that. You know, I just think of, you know, the very least I can do is be someone in his life, or at least be one more person in his life, that he can know that I love him with everything that I have, whether he comes to Christ or not. And we even just had, my wife and I got reconnected with a student who graduated last year, doesn't believe in God, even having some gender identity crisis, and connected our little three-person group on Facebook, and the student named our group, My Christian Parents. and we bring them Christ. And I just met with a group, a lot of anti-drug people from the county, mental health, and the police chief, talked with them afterward, a group of us. And this shocked me. He says about 90% of what they do as police officers is dealing with mental health. Like, maybe they're still doing drugs or something, but he says so much of it goes down to their mental health. Getting calls to go see a house, or even having some special program now where they're going to have people, even their officers, like, doing normal day clothes, people showing up to reverse the stigma that it's not like, oh, my mental health's bad, call 911, woo, 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 you know, right? Instead of having someone just show up to their house, what can I do? What do you need? And then just this last Sunday, brought a couple of my church youth kids to this little gathering, I guess, from our Assemblies of God churches to come up with their goals to try to give to missions. And they showed us a video that a few of the pastors and some other kids went to Africa, and a lot of the money they go towards is digging water wells. And what they do is they get this well, and they build it right next to one of the churches. And what happens? That church, like, doubles and triples in size. And then God just hit me, and it was just asking the question, what is our well? Because thank the Lord, these kids in our area, water isn't really the issue, right? They have water, typically. What can we build? And our plan is, by the grace of God, is to open up more days of student centers, provide hot meals, home-cooked or our hot meals for these kids, give them a purpose, connect them with some people. I see so many kids that just, they desperately want a true friend. They want a friend. So I just, that's really my heart, and I really feel like that's what I want to see us as Youth for Christ grow is build those wells. And they will come rushing in. It's about love. It's about taking the time for me. As Jake's hired on, I can spend more time with the ministry. I can spend more time doing one-on-ones with students to say, hey, buy you a coffee. One kid I met in my office said, bought him a Dairy Queen Blizzard. How are you? Tell me about this or that. I know this and this. Like, what happened here? This is what I've gone through. Share. Build those connections. That's the heart of Youth for Christ, that relational ministry. In our three story or three circles of our story, their story, and God's story, sharing in that and just finding how that all intersects in the middle. Before I close, I'd love to, I'll stick around a bit, and so will Jake. Just love to chat with you, get information, phone, email, whatever, to keep you updated. I'd love to sit down with any of you as a couple or individual, whatever, and just talk more about this stuff. Like I talk, you know, I'll just keep spinning. If you wind me up, I'll keep talking about youth and ministry. So I'm just going to close in prayer. And thank you so much for having me. And again, just one final reminder to just truly spend some time pursuing Father's heart to reach those around you. Let's pray. Father God, it can be so overwhelming at times looking at the hurt and the needs of our area. God, I know that you love everyone so deeply. We simply ask, as the body of Christ, Lord, that you would work in each of our hearts to tenderize our hearts, God, for those broken and lost people. would see not a Pharisee who appears starting around perfect, God, but they would see a disciple of Christ. God, like that they would see us as a Peter who is imperfect, just like the rest of us, God, that is saved by grace and trying to walk with you daily. God, I pray that you will bless this church body, Lord. God, that you would anoint them with a plan for this church, for each individual, Lord. God, that you would give them direction on how they can impact their local community. And God, we do pray for the entire Iron Range, Lord. Anyone that is suffering with mental health, God, addiction, God, those without hope, Lord, that you would meet them right now where they're at, and they would know that there are people that care, and God, that you care. God, help us to love. God, I pray that you would love unconditionally. And God, maybe there's even a person or family or something on each person's heart right now, Lord, that they can reach, they can start building that stronger connection with, Lord, and just point them to you through their own actions.